All right, let's talk to Dr. Murphy again. This is Dr. Robert Murphy, infectious diseases expert at Northwestern Medicine, executive director of the Institute for Global Health. And, Doctor, it's always an honor to talk to you. Let's talk about this story that is now emerging, that there was a document that was generated from the COVID-19 task force, the White House COVID-19 task force, that has now been leaked to the New York Times, that reconfigures the numbers, the trajectory for this disease upward fairly significantly. There were two highlights out of this particular leak, however it occurred. One is that they anticipate that the death toll, as opposed to being 2,000 a day in the United States, will be as high as 3,000 a day. They've also reconfigured the total deaths from, you know, it's always been a moving target, but up to 135,000, right, by August 1. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, all these are models, and models are only as good as the information that goes into them. And as the information changes, the model has to adapt. So what you're seeing is more updated information, more on the amount of people being tested, more on the amount of people dying, and that's what changed the model. And so they were wrong. They had were a little bit too optimistic, and now this is what the reality really is.
Do you think that this is realistic?
I think it's this is an improvement. This is more realistic. This is, you know, the numbers change, and this is not an unusual thing. Like I said, the models are always changing based on the information that's available. You're only as good as the information going into the model.
So that's pretty alarming, though, given the fact that we are reopening state by state here. 42 states are partially reopened as of today. Illinois, even the governor today in his press conference, he was asked about downstate and other counties, potentially, you know, less populated areas, starting to reopen whatever those services are that have been closed. Where are you on the reopening thing now that these numbers, you know, of course, obviously, you know, you are seeing, you know, firsthand from your experience here, but also now that these numbers are being released, do you think that we should be reopening?
No. It's very alarming. And remember, the president is referring to national statistics, and then you have each state reporting their own situation. It's incredibly alarming, and it could even get worse. Because as the restrictions loosen up, and this has been seen in Hong Kong, Singapore, other countries where they've, you know, started to loosen things up, you have an increase. And the question is, how big is the increase and can you handle it? You can handle the increase if you have the appropriate tracking mechanisms in place and you have the ability to test essentially everybody surrounding every new person, so the people they work with, their family members, anyone they've been in contact with, has to be tested at this point. And most of these states that are loosening things up are nowhere near ready to do that. And we're not here in Illinois either. And that's why the governor has extended the lockdown for another month. There will be an end. Don't worry. But the thing is, if you do it too soon, you just go in reverse.
Well, let's talk about that. What does that look like, even given the fact that we're going to be going into a fall here where there's an anticipation that this virus is going to rebound as sort of following the flu trajectory, I suppose, the flu,
mm-hmm.
The mechanism there? Go ahead.
That could be. You know, we may never get this thing under control before the rebound comes. If people, you know, continue to not wear masks and not respect the social distancing rules and have parties and go to the beaches and whatever. You know, people are tired. They're cooped up. They want to go back to work. They want to get out. But it's too dangerous. And, you know, we're getting conflicting signals. You're getting the federal people saying, hey, go back to work. You know, everything is sort of okay. And then you have the states. And Illinois is not the only one. It's happening in California. It's happening in Washington State. It's happening in Ohio with the Republican governor. In Maryland, also with a Republican governor. It doesn't have anything to do with politics. Nothing. It really has to do with how disease is spread.
Right.
And unfortunately, we got to stick it out for another month. And that's COVID, what it says.
Right. The coronavirus is not a Republican or a Democrat.
No.
Truly an independent.
It hasn't signed up with anybody yet.
Yeah. It's going after everybody. But now, along that line, if in Illinois, just stick right here, as we are starting to see, and I think it was an appropriate way that the governor said it today, we're starting to see counties downstate or outstate beginning to open up. His metric is how many hospital beds are available in those counties. This whole idea of shutting things down, although obviously it's a humane thing to do to try to keep people from the human suffering down, but really the idea here was to make sure that the medical system doesn't get overwhelmed, and then you get these, you know, incredibly dire situations in emergency rooms and in hospitals.
I mean, some of these downstate counties have zero or just a few ventilators. In our own experience, about 30% of the people end up in the ICU, and most of them end up being ventilated. If this happens in a town where there's only one ventilator and they have five patients, what happens? Guess what? Four die.
Yeah.
Well, even with a ventilator. No, you could be transferred to another hospital, but, you know, these people are really, really sick. So, the distances are not close in downstate. And this is why the governor is trying to be tough in keeping the disease out of there, because they can't handle the numbers that we can handle up here. Otherwise, they're going to just be transporting patients all around the state, and that's very difficult. It's even harder for the families.
Yeah, I think about this a lot in terms of rock and a hard place, right? We are between a rock and a hard place. The idea of not opening up is pretty bad for businesses, especially for smaller businesses, restaurants, things like that, that really can't afford to stay closed for as long as they're staying closed for. And there's the fear that they won't be able to open up and all of the other stuff that goes on. But at the same time, if we do screw this up and we go into a really significant second wave, that could close down for 6 months as opposed to, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, or whatever it's going to end up being, 12 weeks.
Right. It's going to be painful. And we're talking about a situation that most of us have never experienced anything like this. The closest thing is the 1918 flu epidemic.
Right.
That was the last time there was a crisis really this big in the United States and the world.
Dr. Murphy, before I let you go, I want to ask you this question. Speaking of flu, there is some rethinking about the death rate from the flu this year, the 2019-2020 flu season, and that some of that actually may be COVID-19 as opposed to influenza.
Right.
How will we ever know that for sure, or can we know that for sure? Is that just always going to be speculative?
If the person has expired, there's no way we're going to figure that out. However, what we can figure it out indirectly as these antibody tests come online, because that tells you if you've been exposed. So perhaps in some families where everybody supposedly had the flu and a couple people died or one person died, whatever, but then all those family members test for COVID, you can make the assumption anyway that it was likely that that person died of COVID. So we can do an indirect calculation to try to figure that out. But you're right. Some of the people who supposedly died of flu may have died of COVID.
Yeah. So that's becoming sort of a conventional wisdom in the medical field, in the medical industry right now, about that in the United States. Because it was a...
Yeah.
And there was also these unexplained deaths, too, over the last, starting in late February into March, that, you know, people were either found dead in their homes or, there was a spike, almost a doubling of you know, the average number of deaths for the month of March, what they would be.
Exactly. You know, we have a population of 330 million. There's 2.8 million deaths per year in the country. This is a figure. It's easy to count dead bodies. You know, it's not difficult. You know, you have a coroner, you have a reporting system, so they know what numbers are expected. And when those numbers jump up unexplainedly, you know, you have to find out really what is the cause of the problem. And so some of those increase in deaths are now being attributed to COVID-19.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's this is the story of our lifetimes, and hopefully hopefully it's
the story. We're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And we hope people act responsibly. It's not going to be forever. It's going to be very painful. We hope our political leaders take care of us. We're still a very wealthy country. I mean, their farmers can't get their food out to the markets. They're plowing it back into the field. They're slaughtering piglets because the meat processing plants can't handle it anymore because many of them are closed because so many of the workers got COVID-19.
Right.
Why isn't there some massive program to salvage all that food if this is one of the problems with people out of work? I mean, we have to take some bigger steps here to make sure that the population is fed well and is not harassed by people going after past rent or mortgages or anything. This is a crisis, and it takes leadership to get out of it, as well as science.
Dr. Robert Murphy, infectious disease specialist at Northwestern Medicine, executive director of the Institute for Global Health. Thank you, doctor. Always appreciate your time.